This episode is brought to you by Business Success Consulting Group. Does the way your business currently operate prevent you from scaling and growing? Is the most valuable knowledge in your organization held by just a handful of key personnel? Are you spending valuable time training your teams instead of running your business? Business Success Consulting Group understands the challenges of organizing while you grow, and they specialize in putting order into the chaos of an expanding organization. Adi and her team at BSCG work closely with you and your team to capture vital business knowledge, and then they help you develop, document, optimize, and implement systems and processes across every area of your organization, from sales and operations to marketing, human resources, and business development. Adi and her team have decades of experience and will help you empower your teams to function effectively with reproducible results that will set your business up for continual success and expansion. Schedule your free consultation today by calling or texting 503-662-2911.
In our eyes, people capital is more important than money at times. You need both. They're equally important, really, but people capital, that was the biggest thing that I learned while scaling the business to 21 million.
Listen to what he's doing and just copy him. He's a rich guy.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. This is Brian Kaskavalsian, and with me today is great, great business operator, member of our Success Society, a friend of the Wealthy Contractor, John Quillen, formerly from Century and Exteriors. John, welcome.
Hey, appreciate it.
Good to have you here.
Hey, I'm excited.
So I said formerly from Centurion. So you had a exit event. You're going to start something new now?
I'll be honest. I tried to sit for a couple months and realized that retirement was not for me. After sitting about it, you know, I also thought about some of the people that were with me and how this affected their lives and, you know, how sometimes when you do something like this, you know, it's not the same for them. So after talking to a few of them and understanding that maybe my retirement was greatly taken care of, but my people were, I decided, hey, me and some of my upper management decided to go open another company.
So you were in the window business and now you are going into?
We are going into the one-day bath.
One-day bath.
We're going to be one-and-done bath solutions.
One-and-done. I like that.
We're going to be based out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, but we're also going to have another office in Jacksonville, Florida.
Why in Jacksonville?
I had a good friend there. He'd been looking and we were going to do a paint coating business. So we rotated from the paint coating business to the bath business. I sat down with quite a few people that did baths and realized that, you know, let's face it, you're going to get more leads. You can give us any gadget, but at the end of the game, he who has the most leads wins.
The bath business is pretty amazing. So, you know, Kirk was in the group for years and he sold his roofing business and now he's starting up a bath business as well in Denver. And what's really interesting is you and him probably are going about this the same way, where you're starting, instead of starting from the bottom, which is where most people start, I'll be the salesperson, then I'll bring on somebody else, and we'll build the business from the ground up. Well, what you guys are both doing is now you're saying, I'm going to start from the top, I'm going to build out a full leadership team, and then we're going to put a plan together. And it's going to be up to all of us to now go and execute on that plan. And you're going to grow fast. Do you mind my asking what your projections are for your first full year in business?
So by the end of this year with two locations, we want to be at 7 million.
7 million. Yep. How long did it take you to get to 7 million in the other business?
4 years.
4 years. And you're going to do it here in less than a year.
Oh, yeah. And our goal is to be at 12 million by year number two.
So what's the difference? So why, how are you going into it? What's the mindset you're going into it with this time versus the first time you did it? Because
The other thing too, the first time you did it, you had a ton of experience. You owned a company, you were a part of another company, you knew the business, but it still took you, you know, a few years to get it to that level. But now you're saying, no, we're going to do it in a year. I don't doubt it for a second that you're going to do that. So what's different?
I would say for me personally, the difference was the day I arrived with Wealthy Contractor. Because the people that get on that stage, they know how to scale. And when you do one-on-ones with you, they tell you how they have scaled and what to look for and KPIs to worry about. And so the biggest thing I learned was, hey, there's this money capital thing, but there's this people to capital thing that's probably more important than the money capital thing at high.
Absolutely.
And so for us, just what you said, it was all about the people capital. Just so fortunate, I had a friend in Jacksonville, Florida. You know, I would have never thought about two locations to start with. But you know what? That's a gentleman that I know that he can run that office. But we're able to have a VP of sales right from day one that can, you know, and we have technology to our benefit. We can do Zoom. So everybody's on the same sheet of music, whether you're in Jacksonville or whether you're going to be in Indiana. We're going to have you on Zoom calls with a VP of marketing and a VP of sales. So we're all thinking and doing the same thing.
The thing that holds a lot of people back, you know this, and you alluded to it early, and you said that if you're able to make leads, then you can make this business. Now, you are going into this very confident that you'll get the leads. Why is that?
Because I learned through Charlie Gazelle and through Vince Nardo and Scott Berman, there's a thing out there called blended marketing plan. So you got to have a combination of your third-party providers. You've got to have a combination of your internet leads, you know, your SEO, your pay-per-clicks and all that fun stuff. Rather than canvassing, we prefer to go do trade shows. And so for us, it's a blended marketing plan. And now there's a new thing out there called AI that's going to be part of that blended marketing plan. So we're just sitting back waiting to go to, you know, Accelerate Live here soon and go learn some of that fun stuff.
People get so stuck on leads. And really, I say it all the time. I think it's the hardest part of the business is actually making leads. But you guys, you think about leads. You don't worry about them necessarily because you know it's a process. You know there's a system. You know that there's levers that you can pull to go and get the leads. But I think the mistake a lot of people make is they get stuck with, well, I can only do it this way, or they'll hire a digital marketing company and they'll say, okay, I need leads, do some paid marketing for me. And then they'll sit in their office and they'll just wait for the phone to ring. And you and I both know that doesn't work. It works if you're okay with being broke.
Correct.
But if you want to get rich in this business, again, whatever that means to you, you got to go out and be able to make leads.
When we were acquired by the PE company, you know, they had asked me, they said, what do you think grew your business to 21 million net? We were probably close to 26 and a half on the gross side, but 21 million net. And they had asked that question. I said, well, the easiest answer I can give you is imagine everybody's leads being a big old pile of crap sitting in that corner. Because of certain groups and certain network groups that I'm part of, I learned how to get to the good ones faster.
How do you get to the good ones faster?
Everybody thinks getting a lead is one thing, but they forget speed to lead is the key. So when we learn how to get speed to lead, our conversions from a call room perspective change so drastically. For us, it was going from hand dialing to, you know, hey, now we use 5-9. We were able to dial more contacts, so to speak. Another one is using Hatch or something like Hatch, where you're doing something on the back end that's still going to be able to, you know, contact those customers, even if you did a demo no sale or you didn't get a hold of, you know, or it's letting them know that you're going to, hey, I'm going to be calling you soon. And they're looking out for your phone number. It's just constantly staying in there. But the biggest thing is using technology, you know, using things like Full Throttle.
Are you going to be using Heavyset in your new company?
We're going to be using Heavyset. We're going to be using Full Throttle. You know, we're going to be using, you know, some type of form of Hatch. You got to think about it. All the technology we have today. I mean, even on the sales side, you used to have your sales manager have to worry about going and doing ride-alongs. Well, now you have Xero and Rillo where you can just listen to all the demonstrations and it's easier to coach people along. I mean, the fear of those things from a sales rep's perspective is, oh my God, he's going to be, you know, doing nothing but critiquing me and browbeating me. Well, in our office, that's the last thing we use it for. We don't use it for a browbeating. As a matter of fact, negative almost never comes out of it. At the end of the day, we're trying to make them so they can close more and have more opportunities. And by doing that, we put more money in their pocket and ours.
But isn't that your management style?
We don't like the browbeating. We're very flexible, even on our time off. You know, everybody's like, oh, you know, do you have 2 weeks off? Not really. You know, we kind of have this, what I'm going to call unlimited time off. It's just as long as 80% of that division is there, we don't really give a crap who's there. Yeah. At the end of the day, we want you to have a life and still be able to go to your kids' events and still be able to do things. One of those old sayings, work hard, play hard.
So when you started Centurion and as you were growing it, was this your attitude back then as well?
No. Our attitude was survival. What do we have to do? And God forbid it, if somebody wanted to take off, we were, no, why do you need to take off? There's only four of you guys. And, you know, now we're down to 75%, you know, and so the key to us was realizing somewhere along there by going to these seminars that, once again, there just wasn't money involved. People are involved. The people capital. In our eyes, people capital is more important than money at times. You need both. They're equally important, really, but people capital, that was the biggest thing that I learned while scaling the business to 21 million.
Let's talk a little bit more about the people capital, because I think what happens with a lot of companies, and you see this, is they're afraid to hire good people. They may not have the right, I'll say, attitude. The owner won't have the right attitude, and the business doesn't have the right culture for A players, for really strong players to want to come and work at a company. And so what were some of the things that you did early on to make sure that your business was a place where people wanted to come and wanted to go to work on your vision?
I think for us, the biggest change is the day we created KPI bonus programs. And then that led into what I would call KPI profit sharing programs over the years. And what we did is all of us have a number on us. On a spreadsheet, you know, on a P&L, at the end of the day, we all have a number on us. As a president, we know the number. Hey, we don't want to be no president. It's, you know, you're 7% of the cost. You're 10% of the cost. No, you better be 2. We all have a number daily, hourly, on what we need to produce that day. And so we started focusing on KPI-driven bonuses. To give you an example, in our call room, they were paid an hourly rate. But then they're paid, you know, the first 4 demos, because, you know, we pay them a little higher hourly rate so we can get people through the door. You know, an example would be we pay them between $15 to $16, $17 an hour. Okay. But then we turn around and as soon as you get 5 demos, that's a $150 bonus.
Okay. On the fifth one,
it was the fifth one. Your fifth demo for the week, okay, you're going to get a $150 bonus on top of your hourly salary. In the sixth one, we add, you know, the way we do it is we add $50 to everyone after that until you get to about 8. Let's face it, 8 is that hot number, because if we can get 8 demos a week, we gave somebody 10 or 11 leads. And so 10 or 11 leads is what we shoot for, you know, 1.5 a day. We'd love 1.75, but, you know, we were always right around that 1.5. But at the end of the day, let's say you're hourly, you know, you're getting $650, but then all of a sudden you earned another $400 in bonuses because of demo. And then we want them focused on making sure they're good quality leads too. So what we also do is to make sure that they focus on quality as those demo bonuses, but then we have a volume bonus. So as soon as somebody hit $35,000 net of their business, $35,000 to $70,000, they got another $100. So the average person for us in our call room that produced 8 demos a week, they were averaging between $1,000 to $1,200 a week.
That's real money.
We wanted our close to be 40 to 45% on lead to issue. That was your close. And if you did that, then we knew that you were somewhere around that 50 mark on demo. Well, the way we work, it was, is once again, those KPIs, you know, it was on sales-driven bonuses. So on a sales side, you know, if all of a sudden you popped $150,000, we give you a 1% bonus after 150. Let's face it, you get somebody starts doing 200, that's a $2.4 million producer. So we gave them another percent at 200. So in our rep's case, they were able to make up to 14% on that deal if they sold a car.
It's really interesting when you see how you hire people and compensate people versus how it's typically done. It's typically done, okay, here's your job description, go and do your job. There's really no KPIs attached to it. There's no line item on the P&L that's attached. There's no accountability. And so then people are like, well, how come we're not getting ahead? How come we're not making money? How come we can't hire good people? You might be hiring great people, but you're not giving them the goalposts. You're not showing them, here's what it takes for us as a company to win. Here's your place in that. And if you do your job, then this person will be able to do theirs and the company will succeed. Now, if you do your job, you get this amount, but what we really want you to get is this plus this, which is your bonus tied to that KPI. And so you create this culture of everybody knows what it takes to win in their role, but they also know where their role fits into the whole business and where their role contributes to the overall health and success of the business. And that's the way that all of the most successful people do it. And so you hear about these, the KPIs, key performance indicators. So you have them all set up quarter by quarter, month by month, week by week, and day by day, what those numbers need to be.
Yes.
How do you manage to that then?
My VPs, they manage it on a day-to-day basis. From a marketing standpoint, he knows how many raw leads it's going to take to give us, you know, the number of appointments we need. We do like to use a soft pull thing. For us, it works, you know, not for everybody. And so at the end of the day, we know that if we go get 100 raw leads, we're going to go somewhere between an 18 and 22% of those is going to end up being a RAN net issued appointment for us.
Yeah.
So we know from a raw lead standpoint of what that's going to take. So immediately that's what we had work on when starting our new company was, okay, how many raw leads is this going to take? Okay, how is the blended marketing going to fit into this? You know, how many are we going to attribute to third party? How many are we going to attribute to the SEO? And now it's working with those marketing suppliers to get them to where we think we need each one of those ones to be. Even our call room manager and assistant manager, their KPIs was based on demo rate and fill rate. Well, they don't have a 75% fill rate for that week. They missed out on their bonus.
Define fill rate.
Okay, so the fill rate is just what we said a minute ago. It's, let's just say I have four reps, you know? So the way I look at it is, you know, four reps and it's times 1.75 per each rep, you know, you have to produce basically, you know, a law of averages. You're going to need 10 leads because by the time it's a demo, if there's two slots a day per person. So if it's two a day times four, you know, just two times four, oh, you need eight a day. If you know you need eight a day, you know you need six.
That's what you call fill rate.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
so what we're doing is the number of slots that are
slots, yep,
is basically on the schedule. We want him to be filled at least 1.5 leads a day.
This is really interesting because it's not talked about enough. And it's basically your marketing manager's job and whoever the marketing manager is, it could be you, Mr. or Mrs. Owner, is you have X number of slots to fill every day. And so your job is to get those slots filled, those appointments filled. And you know, in your case, it's, I got four sales reps. I've got eight slots open. Success means six of them, at least six of those are covered. If we don't have six, we have a problem and we better solve that problem when, you know, like today, now.
And the way we work is, let's just say we have a few callers during the day and a few during the evening. If it's 5 o'clock, we ask them to stay over to help us. If we don't feel like we're close to hitting that six, then we're going to ask a few people to stay over. And the call room manager's already got to be on the phone helping.
Here's an extreme example of that. So the other day I interviewed, I keep calling him this kid. He's 27 years old. They did $14 million last year, most of it through canvassing. He started off as the sole canvasser. He was out in Michigan every day for a year, every day. And he would not go home until that schedule was filled. And he told the story on the podcast. People may have heard the story already from him, from Lakota, but he was in a blizzard one day, in a blizzard. He's like, what am I doing out here? He ends up calling his father, and his father basically talks him off the ledge and says, all right, son, go do what you got to do. And he went and continued knocking doors because he knew He had a schedule to fill. Now, that's an extreme example. But there today, their $14 million business runs the exact same way. They just have a whole lot more canvassers out there now. And so the people that understand this business understand it's driven by that calendar. If you do this thing and you think about what is your dream life, if your goal is to make, let's say, $400,000 a year, okay, what is the profit model you're running? Okay, well, let's say it's 15%. All right, 15%. So you take your 400 times 6.7 and you get what 2.8 something, 2.7, 2.8 million. Okay, great. What product do you sell? I sell bathrooms. What's your job average? 15,000. Well, how many of those then $15,000 jobs do we have to do in order to hit our 2.8 million? Then take our close rate. And then that gives us our leads that we need. And then we break down the leads. How do we weight them by quarter? And then let's say, you know, quarter one, we're going to do $1 million, whatever. Divide that by the number of weeks. And we get a weekly number. We get a monthly number. We get a daily number. And now it's every day it's working to those numbers. And yet people complicate this so much. And then they're passive about it. It's like they're waiting, you know, okay, our goal is to do $5 million this year. Well, how much did you do this year? Well, we did 1.5. All right. Well, what's your plan to get to 5 million? We're going to go buy more leads. Okay. Good luck with that. It hardly ever works. Why? Because they don't have those numbers designed out and they don't have an accountability system in place to say, okay, well, if we didn't hit that number today, that's a problem. How are we going to make sure that doesn't happen again tomorrow? Because too many people are in this business. They wait until the end of the month, or worse, they wait till the end of the year to figure out if they made any money or not.
Profit Masters also helped, you know, it just let me know. The good thing is by the time I had personally got to Profit Masters, at least I'd already had a few things figured out, you know. But boy, did I ever learn that, hey, maybe I wasn't losing my rocker like some of my people thought. That's what it did for me, is it backed up what I was saying, and I was able to actually go take a pamphlet and show them, see, I'm not so stupid after. You know? But one of the things I learned was, is let's just say, you know, your material cost is 20%. If you don't have at least a 5x multiplier on that, you're not going to make a 15 to 20% bottom line, period. You can, but that means something's getting shortcutted along the way.
Yeah.
I mean, and what I mean by shortcutted is you take that, you know, 5x multiplier, you're at 20% material, but if you're at 10% install, now that's 30. 10% sales is 40. On top of that, you're going to have a project manager and a few other people, so they're going to be 5. Well, now you're at 55% gross profit. If you're at 55% and you have a 15%, you know, so now you're at 55 minus the 15. You know, now you're at the 40. Let's just say your general overhead's 20. Well, now you finally have the 20%. You see how you can reverse engineer everything.
But if your gross margin's 40%,
something's getting shortcut.
You're working for free.
Either you're working for free, or either your general overhead's too high, or you have no money for marketing. The biggest thing is I'm talking to people is just that. They are at like 35 to 40% gross margin. And I'm telling them, there's your problem.
That's right.
How can you afford to do what I do? I mean, you got to realize I literally take 3 to 5% a year and set it off to the side, knowing that I'm going to go risk something in marketing because I know I'm going to need to do it. If I don't take that risk annually, I'm never going to grow. I'm going to stay stagnant because marketing is such an evolving, changing thing today.
Charlie challenges successes every year. Charlie challenges Success Society members to get 20% of their leads from brand new sources. Hey, it's Brian. Let me ask you something. Are you running a business, or is your business running you? Maybe leads are inconsistent. Maybe you can't find the right people. Maybe you're working harder than ever and your numbers still don't reflect your effort. Or maybe you've grown the company, but it still can't run without you. You're still a salesperson, still the problem solver, still the one putting out fires every day. And if you're honest, it's starting to feel less like a business and more like a job you built for yourself. That's exactly why we created Success Society. It's a group of serious home improvement business owners who want to build companies that actually work for them. Companies that produce real profit, real freedom, and real growth. If you're curious whether it might be right for you, I want to invite you to book a free business growth consultation with my team. We'll take a look at your business, identify what's holding you back, and give you clear next steps to move forward. If we're a fit to work together, great. And if not,
you'll still walk away with clarity. Go to theentrydoor.info and book your call today. So every year, it's like, what are you doing? What are you going and experimenting with? What are you going and testing? Because marketing is testing. What works for you may not work for somebody else.
Markets are totally different.
I feel bad when I see people that are just spinning their wheels, and all it takes is a few little tweaks and a few little understandings of how does my profit model work? How does price impact my gross margin? You need enough gross margin to be able to pay for your marketing and your overhead to, and then still make a profit. Well, as you're growing a company, what moves? What changes? Marketing changes and overhead changes. So what then needs to change in order for you to be able to pay for that? Your gross margin needs to change. But people are afraid of charging what they need to charge. So how do you overcome that?
I think for us, it's all about features, advantages, and benefits. When you walk into that presentation, how are you different? Where can you be different? Let's face it. When we were roofing, how many dang GFED dealers are all in the same area? How many OC dealers are all in the same area? But yet we did $9 million of roofs. You know, now why was that? Because at the end of the day, we did a full installation. It was a full sale. And if you sell that package along with the company story, that's what made us different. The warranty and the company story and the full install. You know, we weren't doing the layovers, you know, we weren't doing not replacing OSB and going down to the OSB to see, you know, the real root of problems long term. I was amazed at how many times on roofing, you know, we'd go into the attic and we have all these nice little gadgets, you know, I mean, if it's just sticking your head in there and you got this, you know, ultraviolet light and you're showing, oh my gosh, look at all the mold over there. Look at this over here. You have leaks here. Yeah. Those extra steps, that's the difference. You know, they've seen other presentations, but they haven't seen yours.
For a few years, I was out doing workshops for one of the big roofing manufacturers. I remember in one of the cities, I just happened to mention email estimates, how, yeah, we don't do email estimates. You want to stay broke, do email estimates. I had a revolt. I mean, it was the craziest thing. Like everybody in the room was doing email estimates and they're all like challenging me. They don't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it. But they're all broke. You know, they're not getting anywhere in their business. And yet they were fighting me on, well, no, that's just how we do it. Well, okay, then keep doing it that way. Because if you want to make money, here's the other way to do it.
Yes.
And it's what you describe. You got to tell a story. You got to show value. My friend John Anglis says it all the time. If you're selling $15,000 product, you better tell a $20,000, $25,000 story. We end up having these like almost basic conversations. But I say all the time on this podcast is like success leaves clues. There's patterns here. And I hope that people recognize the patterns and they see, okay, like here's a guy, John Quillen, that's been in this business that understands it about as good as anybody in the country understands this business. Listen to what he's doing and just copy him. You know, and he's a rich guy.
You know, what's crazy is people ask me how I got here. And I said, really, I'm a really good plagiarizer. There's always keys to the success and they're always along the way. But, you know, when people go to seminars, maybe they like to go there to maybe party too much at night. Not me. I'm there for one nugget. And I tell people, I'm not afraid to walk into a room and know I'm the dumbest guy sitting at the table. I'm okay with that.
Me too.
At the end of the day, it makes me a great student. The day you stop being a student in this industry is the day you dry up.
Look at in Success Society, we have Scott Berman, arguably one of the sharpest minds in this industry, has one of the biggest businesses, and it's just him, one guy that did this business. He doesn't come from family money. He doesn't have any extra connections. And he was bankrupt the same time I was. And in 15 years, he's built a monster-sized business. This guy is still in the room, listening, and looking for those nuggets, just like you. It's shocking to me that people that aren't anywhere near these levels of success that claim to want to be successful are putting themselves either in wrong rooms where they get to beat their chest with their ego. Oh, I did 20 million or I did whatever. Instead of being in a room where they're dumb and they're okay with being the dumb one so that they can learn something. That is such a difference between somebody that gets wealthy from their business and somebody that's just on a hamster wheel doing the same thing, you know, day after day, week after week, year after year, same old crap and not getting anywhere.
In our network group, I love listening to the people that they might only be at 6 million. And let's face it, everybody at my table is probably 10 million or more.
Okay? Yeah.
But all of us at our table, we got where we got because we were listening to $3 and $6 million people that just had one more nugget that we didn't. And we just took that nugget and ran with it. When we were much smaller, we were just listening to somebody that could have been either bigger or smaller than us. We didn't care, but it was a great nugget. You know, it was a new process. It was a new source. And we just took the risk of trying it.
It's about implementation. It's about execution. Any business, you got to go and execute. You can't sit around and wait for stuff to happen. You're not going to have any control over anything if you wait around.
I love how Charlie covered this not long ago. And it was so funny because he covered it. And then our next quarterly, we were there and I was amazed at how many people were talking about how they let go of all their C's. He talked about you got your A's and your B's and your C's.
It
was amazing.
That.
Most of us were talking about salespeople.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we feel hostage. Oh my God, this rep does 3 million, but they're the biggest cancer you have in your organization. And Charlie was all about, you know, here's your A, B's and C's got to go as soon as you get back. And I was amazed at that next seminar, how many of us took our C's and said, all right, see you, we don't care. And what's crazy is almost all of us talked about the growth and the energy and the family atmosphere that we had after that.
Your business made multiple seven figures, multiple millions of dollars in net profit, not in sales, in net profits. How important was it for you to expand your ability, I guess, to be somebody that could make that kind of money? Was it hard for you?
It was. And the reason why is I had to realize that I didn't have to make every decision. I had to be okay with other people making decisions and trusting them to make those decisions. And what's crazy is I also had to be the one that didn't think I had to be the only decision maker. Like, you know, I tell people now, I love to walk into a room because there's four heads are better than one. I want to hear all my department heads. Every Monday, we used to have a department head meeting. It was the sales and the marketing and the ops from both divisions, you know, and it was marketing. And it was so cool because we got to hear it from everybody's angle. And that's how we grew, is because by that meeting, we really became one unit, you know. And for me as a leader, it was giving up that I wasn't going to make every decision.
Yeah.
And that was hard, you know. But then the other part of it was, I use this analogy. Imagine the company being a bus, and tire number one is marketing. Tire number two is sales. Tire number three is office support. And tire number four is two things, installation, and a lot of people forget about service. You have to have service, and it has to be based on a lot of service. And at the end of the day, I'm nothing more than that bus driver. I just need to know who do I need to put in what seat and where do they fit properly within this organization. And then all I have to do is either change those gears or put my foot on the gas or the brake to know where we're at on the business aspect of it. But it sure is hard to operate a business with a half flat tire or even a flat tire.
What did you have to do for yourself to allow that, to allow yourself to be okay with that?
I first had to give them the opportunity to do it, but then I also had to give them an opportunity to make boo-boos and not become the old me, which would have went in there and broke a board or threw things around, or who knows what I would have done 15 years ago. I had to become a different person. And books is what did that for me.
Me too.
You know, reading. I had to become a better person. And I had to realize that I had to be a servant. You know, I believe being a servant for the people, people knowing that you're there for them, it probably made the biggest difference. When people knew that I truly cared about them and their success, but then giving up that authority, giving up that was scary for me. Just because I thought, hey, we had gotten here because of all the decisions I made. But now how do I give that up? You know, I mean, these guys don't think the way I think. And so it was trying to get them around me a little more on a daily basis from a management start to say, hey, how do we think? But here's what I learned in the process. I started thinking like some of them. They were just as good, if not better. What I realized was, like, my VP of marketing, he was better than I was. He thought better than I did. You know, he had better ideas, different ideas of taking a risk after going to a seminar. The biggest thing is, before Steve passed away, my marketing manager, it was speed to lead and what our investment was going to be into that. And I'm like, you know what? But, you know, he reminded me, J. John, didn't you say you already reserved $150,000 to go stump this year? Let's go do it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, this is a big investment. I don't know. And you know, you got to sign this long-term contract, but I believed in him enough that I did it.
Yeah.
And like I said, for us, it's sitting at that table, knowing that sales is hearing marketing's issues. And then marketing is hearing sales issues. Ops is hearing issues, and sales and marketing together are hearing ops, you know, headaches that they may be having on the end. It's just pulling that team together. But for me, it was relinquishing that was the hardest part, because I felt like I had to be the boss. I had to be the president. And really what I realized was, is I really just had to give people room to grow and trust in them and give them that authority to make those decisions.
That was just one way that you had to grow as a person. Another way that we have to grow in this business is around pricing. Another way we have to grow is through accountability. And we have to understand, well, what does accountability mean? It doesn't mean I'm the bad guy. It means that this is the where we're going. This is what we need to do to get there. And so I have to become the person that can confront whoever and say, hey, wait a minute. We didn't hit that number. What are we going to do to get back on track and hit that number? There's a whole bunch of these things that when you develop yourself, the business starts to change. And too many people believe that, well, when the business changes, then I'll change.
One thing that we implemented, and I learned it from one of my VPs, was we all got together and talked about how we wanted to correct people. And you have to be sensitive when you do that and careful in today's world. He read a book and said it was called Kiss, Kick, Pat. Kiss them when you first sit down and tell them that you care about them. Now kick them and tell them maybe what they're doing wrong, but let's pat them on the way out the door. Let's build them back up.
Brian Elias, my friend for years. I remember one day I'm in his office, and Brian loves to tell you everything he's doing. Like, he loves to tell you what's going on in his head, right? So we're sitting in his office. Somebody comes into the office, and he's constantly had people coming in and out. And he would say to me after the person left, he goes, Brian, he goes, here's how I correct their behavior. I build them, which is the kiss. I break them, and then I build them. Build them, break them, build them. Okay. And it's like, it's the same thing that you just said. It's kind of like a sandwich. So my mother, 82 years old, she's about this big. She's tiny now. She's been involved in the church for 60 years. Okay. The church was always like her business. Like she was could have been like the CEO of the church. She was involved in a lot of stuff. And it's one of those things where it's like, oh, that's my mother. You know, oh my God, here she goes again. But she told me the other day at church, there's some stuff going on that she doesn't like. So she's telling me the story about how she's at church on Sunday and she goes into the room where the parish council is. And she knows all of these people. By the way, they're all in their 40s. My mom has known them since they were kids. Okay. So she goes in there and she goes to them, you know how much I love all of you, right? You know? And so she's loving on them, loving on them, loving on them. Then she starts to go like, but this is going on and that's going on. In my day, we didn't do it because of this and because of that. And there's a transparency issue now. And so she's hitting them, hitting them, hitting them. And then she comes back with the love. And I'm listening to this. And at first I'm like, oh my God, here she goes again. And then at the end of it, I'm like, wait a minute. She just pulled a Brian Elias. She built them, she broke them, and then she built them back up again. And I thought, oh my God, my mother is a manager. My mother's a really good leader of people.
Another thing that we do good with within our internal is we find people's whys. You have to know your people. It's been as easy as somebody wanted a hot tub. How many demos is it going to take to get you to that hot tub? you know, and just putting a number and a target on that hot tub on, you know, as a caller that happened to do this, it was all about putting a number and a target on what it's going to take to get them this hot tub.
They're people, they have a life. And today I want my people to succeed. I want them to feel good, not only feel good about what they're doing, but I want them to also be able to live their dreams. If I get to live mine, why don't they get to live theirs? And so did you have any sort of, for lack of a better word, a system for how you find people's why?
I think for us, the biggest thing is just sitting in on one-on-ones and say, you know, what brought you here? Where do you see yourself in 6 months? Where do you see your in 1 year? Where would you like to be? And then breaking down their whys. And what the number one thing that we found out is, you know, depending whether it was sales or anything, it seemed like their why was being able to take more and better vacations with their family. So something that we implemented was using destination motivations within our company, but we turn around and we give it to our employees too. Every employee gets one of those every year. So everybody gets a free vacation every year.
Vacation vouchers, destination motivation, great tool to use in the house to close sales, but also what a great way to give your team vacations every year.
It did a great job for our back end. We were able to recoup more of them by using that program. I was always just trying to put numbers on it. And we realized, okay, now when they hit those numbers, let's give them one of these vouchers.
Well, John, it's always good talking to you, my friend. I'm so happy for your success. I know it was not an easy road for you. I mean, we didn't talk about all of everything you had to go through to get where you got. I have so much respect for you and what you've accomplished. And I appreciate you being a part of Success Society and sharing this with the other members in the group. I wish you nothing, of course, but continued success in what you do. I got a front row seat. So I get to watch you now do it all over again. And I get to hear about it every quarter about, hey, we're doing this and we're doing that. It's really exciting. So thank you for being here.
Now we have the experience and now we have the knowledge, you know. So our goal is to do it, you know, it's funny. What we said took us 10 years, we're going to do it 5. So our goal is by year number 5, we're going to be 20 million, period.
The little parts and pieces of what makes this business work, and you're just going to go and make it happen.
If you're not part of Success Society, you're not part of that, you really need to consider, you know. I had one of my salesmen one time who says, well, I don't like to read and I don't like to do this. I said, let me ask you this. Do you consider me successful? He goes, well, bleep, bleep, yeah. And I'm like, would you realize that I pay a certain amount every month so I can learn? We're never going to stop being students. So why are you not willing to read a book that, you know, I'll go buy the book for you. There you have no cost. All you got to do is read it, you know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, if you're a leader out there, you have to invest in yourself and invest in your company at the same time. But if you don't invest in yourself, it's going to be a lonely road. I will tell you, being in that room and being around other people, being around the Tim Browns and, you know, just listening to people around my table, you know, when Kirk was there, you know, it was crazy. We're all sharing and bouncing ideas. What's his name? I think Justin is his other name or something like that. He owns the bath company up in Grand Rapids.
Josh.
He leads with compassion and he's grown to humongous size.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of him. But it's when he speaks, I'm like, you know, I have that problem.
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice to hear that you're not the only one.
You're not the only
but
one.
Then it's nice to hear somebody that's, you know, 35 million telling you, well, this is what I did when I was there and this is what I did. And then all of a sudden it's nice to hear somebody says, hey, you know, when I was 50 million, I did this. Or I know you had to have a heart attack. I think it was 2 years ago on Accelerate when Scott Berman got on stage and says, Brian, I'm not going to talk about anything you wanted me to talk about. I think we make it sound too easy on the stage. And what he did is he broke down all his failures. And for me, that was an eye-opener, realizing it was okay to fail.
But you want to know the real thing, the real story behind that?
Yeah.
I asked him to do that.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. You know, you go to a lot of these conferences and people get up on stage and they want to tell you about, oh, look at me. Look at what I did, you know, and they're beating their chest. And look at how great I am. And look at how great my company is. And don't you wish you could be like me? The people in the audience already know you're successful.
Yes.
You don't need to talk to them about that. I want you to talk to them about what you had to go through to get here. And if they see something in all, and he went year by year, which was an amazing presentation, amazing. He went year by year. And it's like, here's what we quote unquote failed at. But by the way, here's what we learned from that and what we changed next year because of what we learned there. I think that's what makes guys like you great, is that you're looking at that stuff. And instead of getting all wrapped up in how successful you are, you're like, well, wait a minute. I'm just here to get better every day. I'm here to get better and to learn. And I think that's like what Success Society does. But I think it's also a place where there's access. You get to talk to other people, other smart business owners. I was talking with somebody the other day and I said, for what we charge, which is, I think it's not even about the money. The money is nothing. Money can be replaced. It's two jobs a year. You know, it's not the money. It's the time. You're taking 3 days out a quarter to fly, to be in a room with other people. But that 3 days a quarter, if you don't pick up something that'll 10x your investment, you're doing it wrong. You're just not paying attention because you're in a room surrounded by really smart people and by like-minded people just like you that want to get, you know, everybody's got their own version of success, wealth, and freedom. It's being in that environment and being open to learning and growing and sharing and being honest about here's where I'm at, here's where I want to go, and allowing people to help. I think it's really powerful.
Anyway. It is. It's really helped me. It helped me at times that I was, you know, not thinking outside the box. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's crazy. We have a thing called hot seat in that. And, you know, I'll be honest, if you're the last one, that sucks because everybody else on the hot seat took all the crap you were going to say or think.
That's right.
You see, you're trying to rack your brain. Okay, what else do I need? But it was so amazing because as we were doing a hot seat in our group, you know, I think I was second to last and I was like, well, I don't know. They kind of covered everything I wanted. I came here for one nugget and I have five nuggets.
Thank you, my friend. John Quillen, wish you nothing but the best. To everybody listening, until next time, Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.